Bible this morning, would you join me in Psalms 107? Psalms 107. And we thank God for those of you joining online as well. Oh, let me mention this real quick. I shared last week that I did receive, finally received a royalty payment for the devotional I wrote called Walk in Newness of Life. And as of October 20th, 98 of them have been purchased. And that was from June, I think. And I think it's about $3 and something that's going to be, that's profit on each one. So I was able to pass that on to our missionaries last week. And so I'm thankful that if you decide to purchase one, I just want you to use it, that it would be a blessing to you. A young person I was speaking with maybe a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were talking, and I said, if someone asked you, why do you believe there's a God? What would you say? And she said, I don't know. And sometimes we believe there is, we're just not sure how to word it. Well, that's day one in the devotional. But I received word, too, that it's available. It's paperback and hardback on the table. It's on Kindle, and now it's on all the forms of audiobook. So Apple and all of those, whatever, Spotify, if you choose to use that, that is available now as well. So anyway, just wanted to pass that on. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you and just encourage you, it strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. But I hope it's a tool that you can use to be a blessing to draw others to the Lord and help them to be discipled as well. All right, Psalms 107. Father, I pray today that you would just help us to be grateful. I want to be a more grateful man and to count my blessings that you have been good to me. And I want my eyes to be open to your goodness, to see, and then I want to show my appreciation by doing the best I can with everything you've entrusted to me. And I pray again that you would just speak to our hearts today for your will, your purpose, and your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalms 107, verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. These psalms are basically songs. They were written to be sung in congregational worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. That's just who he is. The Bible says that the Lord is good and he does good. He does out of who he is. So the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. That word mercy is a Hebrew word that's translated mercy, goodness, and loving kindness just in this psalm. I'll show you where they are. But let me just give you the title of the message this morning if you want to write it down. It's real simple and we'll just carry on this theme through four, it's like choruses. They're repeat choruses throughout this psalm of occasions that we face in life. So the title of the message is just simply, thank God for his goodness. Would you say that with me? Thank God for his goodness. And then would you turn to someone next to you and just smile and tell them, thank God for his goodness. And we'll look at a couple of specific ways in which he is good. Psalms 107, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Then verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's right. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let me give you a real simple definition of redeemed, just so we have an idea of what it means here in Scripture. It really means to deliver or free, and it means to ransom or to repurchase. In the Bible, there's a book, the book of Ruth, and Ruth is a lady who married a man. She was from a country called Moab. Her sister and her mother-in-law were all living together because there was a famine in Bethlehem. Her father-in-law died, her husband died, her brother-in-law died, and they went back, but they forfeited their property because they were in a bad financial need. But when they returned, there was a close relative who paid the price to buy that property back for the family. He redeemed it. So that's what it means. Jesus paid the price. I'll give you a scripture if you want to write it down. It's 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. It says that Jesus paid the price to redeem us, not with money or silver and gold. This is how it words it. It says, knowing that we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. So it's not religious tradition. Money can't redeem us from sin. But he says, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And then verse 23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So when we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, that's the key. The Bible says it's with the heart we believe and we're made right with God. God gives us his righteousness because Jesus paid the price to pay for all of our sins, break the curse of sin and death, give us forgiveness, eternal life, and his righteousness. His spirit indwells us at that moment. He's with us through life, and then we get to be with him forever. So that's why he says, let the redeemed of the Lord, don't hide it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So we thank God for his goodness that if for me, he's done so much for me, but I could never thank him enough for what Jesus did for me on the cross in paying for my sins, that I'm not separated in a place prepared for the devil and his angels. I have him in life through every trial, every mountain, every valley, every tear, every joy, and I have him forever. Thank God for his goodness. And I hope you can say that today. If not, I hope you can say it before we're done. And it will be very personal to you. Now, this psalm gives us four different times and occasions when people were in desperate situations and God was still good. And here's the three characteristics that you'll find through this psalm. They needed God, they cried out to God, and God answered. And you'll see the verses there. They needed God. They couldn't help themselves. They cried out to God and God delivered them. And I just believe, even as I was preparing this week, this is such a word of encouragement and comfort and hope to me, because I know if God did it for them, he can do it for me. If he did it then, he can do it now. And that's why it's recorded in God's word. So thank God for his goodness, because I can tell you, if you live long enough, you and I will probably face all four of these occasions at some point. Some people may be in one of these four right now of how God is good. Let me ask you to turn to the last verse of that psalm, and then I'll show you what the four are if you want to write them down just so you have them. Psalm 107, verse 43 says this, whoever is wise, we want to be wise and not foolish. Whoever is wise will observe these things. So what God has placed in this psalm, God says, if you want to be wise, observe it, learn from it, and then you will understand. You'll come to know and discern and realize the loving kindness of the Lord. See that word loving kindness? It's the same word translated mercy in verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy, his loving kindness, his goodness endures forever. We couldn't put it all in one English word. So we had to spread it out to give the full meaning. So let me give you these four. God is good when we are, first of all, weary. God is good when we are weary. And I will read a couple of verses to you in a moment. This kind of weary is not just, it's more than physical weariness. If we're tired physically, what should we do? Try to rest. So y'all are wise. This kind of weariness is you can sleep 10 hours and wake up tired. Weary on the inside. That's why it says this. Let's look at this scripture. Psalms 107, verse 4. It speaks of how they wandered in the wilderness, a lonely, desolate, fruitless, barren place in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in, speaking of God's people at the time. Verse 5 says, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Not just their body, their soul. That refers to our very life essence, our mind, our will, our emotions. Their soul fainted in them. That's why I said it's more than just a physical weariness. And we can grow weary like this scripture talks about. If you ever feel like you're wandering and getting nowhere and lacking direction, and you feel like you're going through life alone and you see no fruit and it's barren and desolate, that's enough to wear on you. Because it's not just that happens for like a minute. Sometimes that happens for a season. And how is God good then when I'm in this state of weariness? Well, Jesus says this. I want to just give you, like I said, a few New Testament verses for each one. That way, if you want to write them down. But I want to relate them all to Jesus, and then I'll come back to this psalm. Let me tell you what Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Jesus gave us an invitation, and he says this, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who, and that word labor is also translated weary. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you what? Come to me. It's good to go talk to another person. That's fine. We need each other. But let's not neglect the one who can give us rest on the inside. So come to me. He says, I'll learn. I'll give you rest. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you. To take a yoke is related to like two oxen plowing a field. One was considered the lead ox, and Jesus is the lead. take his yoke is a call to be his disciple. That's literally what it means. It's to stay in close fellowship with him, walk with him, and follow his lead. And this is what he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So come to me and learn from me. Let's do life together. And this is what he says. If you learn from me, I'll show you. I'm gentle, I'm humble, I'm lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Let's be honest. Sometimes we put ourselves in unrest because we are too proud to trust whatever it is and hand it over to God. Someone said, I remember when I first started, no, it was about the time we started the church, I read this. It says, if we don't trust God, we try to play God. And sometimes we can be weary on the inside because we're not trusting God with enough of the controls to say, Lord, I'm gonna do my part. I'm gonna be responsible. I'm gonna try to do it to the best of my ability, but I can't change them. I can't even change me without your help. And so I'm just gonna trust you. So there you are, Lord. And I just want to come here and be humble enough to admit I need your help. Give me rest, please. And so when we're weary, God is still good. If you're still there in Psalms 107, would you look at verse 6? Verse 6 says this. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Remember what I said? They needed God. Then they cried out to him in their trouble. God delivered them out of their distresses. Thank God. He answers. And then verse 7, and he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. And this verse 8 is like a chorus that's repeated throughout the psalm. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Same word translated mercy in verse 1. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 9, for he satisfies the longing soul and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. If we're thirsty on the inside, Jesus is the water of life. If we're hungry on the inside, he's the bread of life. He satisfies the longing soul. Jesus said, if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we'll be what? We'll be filled. So if we're weary, God is still good and I can still come to him. Thank God for his goodness. Number two, he's not only good when we're weary, he's good when we're bound. When we're weary and when we're bound. And I'll read a couple of verses here beginning in verse 10, Psalms 107, verse 10. The Bible says this, those who sat in darkness and the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Here the people were taken captive because they rebelled against God's word. I remember seeing a Bible years ago that was dedicated to prisoners, and it says, freedom begins on the inside. That was what it was on the cover. And I love that because there are men and women behind bars today who are free. And there are multitudes walking around who are bound. Because we can be bound by everything from resentment and unforgiveness. We can be bound by regret for our past. We can be bound by some type of addiction, maybe a drug or even pornography. We can be bound by fear. And those are issues that we're not comfortable talking about, especially in church. But we got to be real. I can tell you this. For every lock the devil has, Jesus has the key. And he's still good. Even when we're, and here's the thing with them, they were bound because of their own foolish choices. That makes it a little tougher. Because if I get down on myself, Lord, I deserve these consequences. I did this to myself. I can't blame anyone else. I want you to know God is still good. Because even in that case, we can do just like they did, cry out to him in repentance and faith, and God will forgive us. He will wipe the slate clean. He will help us walk through all of that addiction, to let go of that unforgiveness, to do whatever it may be, because he will give us grace to even face and walk through all of those consequences and do it in freedom. Thank God for his goodness. This is what the Bible says in John 8, 31 and 32. Again, Jesus spoke these words, John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus said, if you continue or if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And this is how we come to know the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It doesn't just say truth makes you free. It says you continue in my word and you'll come to know the truth. That's a word that means to get to know someone like a person. So as we get to know Jesus and get to know truth, he says you will be free indeed. I look at it like walking through a funnel backwards. When Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, that seems like a narrow way. But I've found this, I've experienced it, that if we will take that step of faith to believe him and start following him and walking with him in life, the way goes brighter and brighter and wider and wider, and we can have increasing freedom if we just stay with the Lord and keep learning his truth. So here's what it says in still in that Psalms 107, if you look at verse 13. It says, then they cried out to the Lord. It was their fault, Lord. Yeah, but that's okay. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. He's a chain breaker. Thank God for his goodness. And then he says, verse 15. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Would you say that with me? Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. And then he says, for his wonderful works to the children of men, verse 16, for he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars in two. Thank God. The Lord is, I thank God for his forgiveness. He's given me more than two chances. Somebody say he's the God of second chances. He's got them many more. I thank God that every day is a new beginning. And God is good when we're weary, and he's still good when we're bound. And then let me give you this third one. He's good in sickness. God is still good in sickness. And it doesn't matter what the sickness is. I just thought about this again this week. Just serving in ministry, and you know, if you've been in church maybe for any length of time, if you've ever heard prayer requests, the overwhelming majority are about what? Anyone have any idea? Because you've probably experienced the same in our culture as I have. For healing, for some kind of sickness. And that's, thank God we can pray for that. But it's overwhelming. And let me read a couple of verses here. Psalms 107, verse 17 says, fools, because of their transgression and because of iniquities, they were afflicted, and their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near the gates of death. Have you ever experienced some type of condition when you didn't want to think about food? But God is still good. Then he says this, verse 19, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distresses. I believe this is the case when, of course, if we're hurting, you want relief. If you're miserable, you want relief. I have three little issues one day this week. I was cutting roses, ended up getting a little too far on the stem and got this finger that I had to try to push down on the guitar on to hold the notes. And then I busted this thumb. And then one day I was eating lunch. I was in a hurry. And I bit my tongue. I thought, Lord, have mercy. Some little nitpicky thing. But I know in my heart that God designed our bodies to heal themselves to a large degree. So I said, Lord, I'm going to praise you. We're remarkably and wonderfully made. And I appreciate a quick healing if you wouldn't be so kind as to grant it. But I believe that sickness can feel so heavy or some kind of disease because it brings to mind our mortality. And we realize these bodies have an expiration date. So is God still good? Absolutely, he is. The Bible says this. They cried out to the Lord, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Thank God. Again, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Sometimes it's a sacrifice to give thanks to the Lord because we may not feel like it. The circumstances may not dictate it, but if we believe God is good, we can go ahead and thank him anyway for his goodness in spite of the situation. So he said, go ahead and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Notice what that scripture says. God sent his word and healed them. God's word has life-giving, healing, freeing power, strengthening virtues. The Bible says, strengthen me according to your word. I don't know all the details about this. I'll just say this. Whatever we need a healing, whether it's spirit, soul, or body, God's word has the power to heal. Let's get it in us. It's like if a doctor says, you're lacking this vitamin, I want you to take this iron. I want you to take this, whatever it is, vitamin D. Well, if they prescribe it and I don't take it, then I can't get the benefit. But if the Lord says, I sent my word and healed, then if we get that healing word in us, let's at least do our part. Let's allow the word to get in us and bring healing in our spirit, in our minds. We need healing in our memories, in our emotions, our heart at times. Ultimately, that's what can cause healing in our body. I'll say it like this. Take your gospel, a gospel, and take the Lord's prescription. He's the great physician. He knows what he's doing, and he still makes house calls. So thank God for his goodness. He's good when we're weary. He's good when we're bound. He's good in sickness. And he's good in storm. He's good in life's storms. Thank God. Because we all experience storms in life. Doesn't matter if you're Christian or not. It's common to humanity. But as Christians, we can have Jesus in the boat with us in the storm. I forgot to give you this scripture. If you want to write it down, I'll tell you what it says. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. That goes with number 3 on sickness. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. It says that Jesus, in this scripture, I'll read it to you. It says that when evening had come, they brought to him those who were demon-possessed, and he cast out spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. That word healing also means to repair or to make whole. And I thank God because of what Jesus did on the cross and the fact that he conquered death. One day, I've got a brand new glorified body coming. It won't age. I won't get herniated discs. It won't have sinus issues. And if you know him, you've got one too. It's part of your redemption package. We just say, thank God for his goodness. Then he says this, 107:23. Those who go down to the sea in ships who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. How many of you have ever been, and I'll just use the ocean as an example. Have you ever been, like say to the ocean or maybe the mountains, somewhere out in nature, and when you were there, it was almost like you just sensed the awesomeness of God? Any of you ever experienced that? I love that. It's like I feel, physically I'm not any closer to him, but it makes me more aware of his awesomeness sometimes. So he says, they see the wonders of the Lord in the deep, but that same deep says, verse 25, for he commanded and raises stormy winds, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down to the depths. Notice their soul melts because of trouble. When we're in life's storms, it can melt our souls or feel like it. Verse 27 says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Don't raise your hand. But have you ever been through a storm and you felt like you're just at your wit's end? Well, we know what to do now. Cry out to the Lord, just as it's repeated throughout this entire psalm, because this is what it says, still Psalms 107, verse 25. I'm sorry, let me turn the page. Psalms 107, and it says they mount up, those bring us to our wits' end, verse 28. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. Notice, he calms the storms so that its waves are still. Then they're glad because they're quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Would you write this scripture down from the New Testament? And then I'll close up here in Psalms 107. Matthew 8, 24 says this. This is Jesus in the storm with his disciples. And it says, suddenly, would you say suddenly? Isn't that how life storms can come sometimes? You think you're just going along in life fine, and man, something happens and feels like catches off guard. Suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea. The boat was covered with waves. Jesus was asleep. I put an article back on the table this morning that says, I'm kind of paraphrasing it, he's not anxious about what makes us anxious. And he's a God who doesn't get anxious. You might want to get it on your way out, help yourself. So he says that he was in the boat asleep and they woke him up, verse 25, and said, Lord, save us, we're perishing. Cry out to the Lord. And he said, verse 28, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it went from a great tempest to a great what? A great calm. And they marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the seas obey him? And then one final little chorus there back in Psalms 107. The Bible says this, verse 31. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. When we're weary, when we're bound, when we're sick, when we're in a storm, God is still good. Let's thank him for his goodness. Let's cry out to him and trust him to deliver us and see us through. One last scripture, if you want to write it down. Before I tell you what it says, it's very familiar, Psalms 23, 6. I've learned this from God's word and I've learned it in life, and you probably have as well. People can be mean and life can be hard, but God is good. And thank God for his goodness. I'm just so thankful when we cry out to him for deliverance, if we know him, let me back up. If we don't know him, we can cry out for him to save us. And we can come into that place of knowing God as our Father through faith in Jesus, have our sins forgiven, have his Holy Spirit live on us and help us every step of the way. Never abandon us. And when we go through those times, weary, bound, sick, in a storm, we don't go alone. Thank God he's with us and he will see us through all the way until we meet him face to face. As Psalms 23, 6 closes out, very popular psalm, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank God for his goodness. I hope this morning that you can say that. Thank God for his goodness. Can we just close and the prayer this morning as we just join our hearts once again and look to the Lord. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. a goodness, a mercy, a loving kindness that would be willing to offer your own son on the cross so that we could be forgiven and know you and call you Father. I pray for each of us here today, maybe those joining online or listening. I ask, Lord, would you help us to, first of all, look for your goodness, and then help us, Lord, to give thanks. The scripture says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes from you, the Father of lights. So I pray that you would just give us eyes to see your many blessings, to offer you thanks, because, Lord, that will help us not only be aware, it'll help us enjoy them more. And it will help us to share them more so that others can see your goodness as well. Can we stand together? You believe God is good? If you know him, haven't you experienced his goodness? There have been times when you've been so down and maybe God just gave you a song. Someone called you or sent you a text or a card at just the right time, lifting you up in prayer. So many ways God is good. He loves us beyond human language. We can't describe it, but we can receive it. And he just wants us to love him back. Lord, I pray that your healing love and grace and even your word would flow right now by your spirit. Go to those areas in our heart where we're bound, fearful, worried, and free us and heal us, Lord, and use us for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name.